It's the JD the Brick Show.
More than my expectations, we're going to win a bunch. And I don't care who hears that. I mean, it doesn't matter to me.
He's legendary. His track record speaks for itself. He competes every single day, and that's what I love about him.
Your silver and black home to Sound Off for over 25 years.
Am I willing to play harder longer than the guy lining up across from me, the team lining up across from me? And if you're not, then I want to be the space that's where the Raiders live in.
Like, I expect excellence every day.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
All right, good to have you here. We are live. We were planning on only being live for this hour. I had to put some radio in the can this morning because I got called in to host the Silver and Black Show, which was phenomenally kind of cool for me because I was the first ever host of the Silver and Black Show with George Atkinson in 1998. And I stepped in for Amber Theo Harris, and it was really cool working with the crew over there. So that'll be out. And I hosted all three of the shows this week: Raiders Rundown, Raiders Roundtable, and the Silver and Black Show. If you would have told me that 28 years ago, I would have said, you're nuts. You're nuts. And we're still doing it. Pre-game show from the Torch on Sunday. Raiders are playing the Broncos, and it's a really big game. It's much bigger for the Broncos. They're playing for the number one seed overall. So as you know, the Raiders have been officially eliminated from the playoffs. They're in line for a top five pick right around now. And there was a lot of hype before the season, on what they can do. I was a part of that. I didn't tell you they were going to the playoffs. I did not tell you they were going to the playoffs, but I wanted 8 or 9 wins under Pete Carroll because he always wins 10. That will not happen. We're stuck on 2, and we're playing really bad football overall. Overall, the whole big picture is not good. But you get an opportunity to take on a team who's a rival. Now, someone asked me today, one of the young kids on the set, one of the young men who was working with me, JT, who's the Raiders' biggest rival? And he was sincere. He asked me. I go, it's a great question. I think it's Kansas City. And I say Kansas City because not now with Patrick Mahomes. I'm talking Otis Taylor. I'm talking going back to Bobby Bell. I'm talking about Len Dawson. All right? I'm not talking about Elvis Gerback and all that. I'm talking the 1960s and the AFL, and they stole a Super Bowl from us. They won Super Bowl IV. Remember, we swept them that year. That would be like sweeping a team, and they go to the Super Bowl, and you swept them. So that was another. Super Bowl III went to Joe Namath. Super Bowl III. That should have been the Raiders. Didn't happen. Super Bowl IV went to the Chiefs. That shouldn't have happened. It should have been the Raiders. The Raiders didn't win till Super Bowl XI. You know the other. You know what happened between Super Bowl IV and 11? Oh, something called the Immaculate Reception and the Steelers dynasty, where we should have won that. Oh, you know what else happened? The 72 Dolphins. That could have been one of ours. So the Raiders have a long history, but the Chiefs hate the Raiders. The Chargers hate the Raiders. And I think Denver hates the Raiders the most. Just my experience, not as a former player, but just being around the team. I think the team that I talk to that hates the Raiders the most are the Denver Broncos. And you're in Raider Nation and you don't want to win a game and you want to lose for what? For who? A draft pick? You don't even know if the kid's going to blow out his ACL. That kid that you won for a draft pick, you don't even know if he's going to blow out his ACL next week. And you want to lose to the Broncos for some 22-year-old kid that you don't even know is going to play? Oh, okay. No, we don't do that around here. We want to beat the Broncos. So we'll see what happens. The Broncos' numbers are amazing. They're finishing all these tight games with wins. They're 8-2 in one-score games this year. 8-2. They have a 10-point margin of victory in their last 4 games combined. How would you like to win 4 games in a row, Raider Nation, let alone by a combined 10 points? Denver has been able to do this. But, man, all Denver's games are heart attacks, man. They're all 3-point games that come down to the last series. And Bo Nix seems to make a play or two. And why is he making plays that Geno is not? Ooh, that's a good one. That's a really good question. How come Bo Nix is outplaying Geno Smith? Now, Bo Nix was outplaying Geno 5 years from now, and Bo was in year 7. I wouldn't have a problem with that. But Geno, who's been to Pro Bowls, Geno, who's won 10 games, Geno, who played really well before he got here, supposed to outplay Bo Nix. And he hasn't been able to do it. The last time these two teams met, the Broncos' secondary didn't have Patrick Surtain. And they managed to hold Geno Smith to under 143 yards and an interception. Now you're bringing back their best player on defense along with Nick Benito. Good luck. These guys are really good. Another thing that the Broncos had success doing was getting after the quarterback in the last matchup. Geno was sacked 6 times in the last game. Myles Garrett sacked him 3 as Cleveland went on to 10 sacks. And last week he was sacked 5 times. Oh, my God. I mean, how many more times, Clay, can this guy get sacked? I'm serious. I'm just not being a wise ass.
No,
how many more times can Geno get sacked in a season?
Nobody should endure that kind of punishment.
He's taking a beating.
Yeah, and it's starting to show, too.
Yeah, it is. It's a very good point you're making. Another big thing, you know, if you look at this team, Denver's offense is a pretty good group with their offensive line. You know that they have given up the least amount of sacks this year? The least amount with 14. I mean, I just told you, Geno was sacked 15 times in the last 2 weeks. Denver's given up 14 the whole year. Oh, boy. That's a problem. So Max is going to have to get to Brock quick because Brock doesn't get sacked a lot. I talked to James Palmer today from The Athletic. He said one of the great things that Bo Nix does is he doesn't take sacks. You know why? Sean Payton told him, don't take sacks. Throw the ball away. Just throw it away. Throw it in the dirt. Don't hurt your team that way, and he's done a really nice job. And in the 2 games that Vegas won this year, they recorded 4-plus sacks. In the opening game against New England, the Raiders had 4 sacks. And in the Tennessee game, we had 6 sacks. So if you want to get – Raiders need 4 sacks to win this game. I can count on Max for 2. I don't know what I can count on for anybody else. I have no idea. So when we are – when we look at this team, will the Raiders have to play a perfect game? No. No, they actually don't. They don't have to play a perfect game to beat the Broncos. You got to play a perfect game to beat Kansas City. Got to play a perfect game to beat the Rams if they're on your schedule. You don't got to play a perfect game to beat Denver. They give you a lot of opportunity in the first half. But you got to play with the lead. You got to get out strong. You got to play smart. You got to get this going. And you got to be ready to play early and often. So that opens up the phones for you if you want to get through, 702-365-9200. There goes the Wi-Fi, and it's back. Good to see everybody, the bricklayers there on YouTube. And we'll get out to Chris in Massachusetts. Chris, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Hey, GT, big fan. I was there week 1 in Gillette. I work a mile from there. It was an awesome game. My biggest question is, for the past like 20 years, we've been stuck in limbo. Pete came in saying, oh, we're going to win a bunch of games. Now he really knows we need a full rebuild. You talk to him all the time. Is he down for that?
No, he's not. I'm not going to sit in front of Pete Carroll and say, hey, Pete, in the building across from him, hey, Pete, maybe I'd do it over a cigar, but I wouldn't do it and do it on the radio and say, are you in line for a full rebuild? Why would I ask him that? It's the middle of the season. I mean, I interview him once a week. I'm not going to ask him about rebuilding. He's trying to beat the Broncos. So to answer your question.
But he even said the team wasn't where he thought it was. He expected to win a lot. Yeah, every show saying we need 11, 12 new starters to even be competitive.
Yeah, but you're missing my point. He's aware of that. You're aware of that. I'm aware of that. You don't ask the head coach in the middle of the season if he's going to rebuild next year. Like, do you get that? Or is that like, am I being okay with that? You don't ask the coach when you're interviewing him, hey, coach, do you want to rebuild next year? He doesn't even know what's going on next year. He's trying to get through the week.
Your thoughts, like, because last 2 years we've been...
You actually asked me if I'm going to ask the coach, but you want my thoughts. My thoughts are, no, you don't rebuild with Brock Bowers and Ashton Jeanty and Max Crosby. You can't, because then Max and Ashton Jeanty and Brock Bowers would address a trade. If you told them in a meeting to Brock Bowers, I'm going to rebuild, and Brock goes to his agent and goes, get me the hell out of here. Are you good with that? I'm not saying he'd do it, but that's the point. You don't have
told him we're going to try to bring you in a young quarterback and build an offensive line around you.
That's great. I have no problem with that. That's what they're doing. By the way, and I appreciate what you're saying here, that's exactly what John Spytek, I think, is going to do. He's going to get 3 new offensive linemen and draft a quarterback. And I think Brock would want to stick around for that, and Max would want to stick around for that. But when you say rebuild, my opinion means you mean let's get rid of our veterans, let's get rid of our good guys, and just what, start from scratch with rookies?
I just made a complete overhaul. For the last 20 years, we've been middle of the road. Something has to change.
But, my friend, Josh McDaniels, John Gruden, and now Pete Carroll have tried to do an overhaul. You're admitting that they're failing at it, and I respect your opinion. What the hell do you think they're trying to do? That every GM, Tom Telesco, Dave Ziegler, and John Spytek are trying to reconstruct this franchise and overhaul it every draft and free agency. It's not working yet, but that's what they're trying to do.
I respect that. I just figured if someone's coming and trying to rebuild, they would draft a quarterback that they thought was the future of their team.
I would agree with
you. None of those coaches have done that.
Now, why? That's another good point. You don't think Antonio...
That's my point.
Well, let me throw that back at you then. That's fair. You don't think Antonio Pierce wanted Jaden Daniels? That's the only guy he wanted. He recruited with him at Arizona State. He wasn't available. So who'd you want him to draft? Did you want him to draft Michael Penix? I didn't. Okay, Michael Penix is damaged goods. Now, did you want to trade up and get Bo Nix? That's a fair question, but there weren't a lot of quarterbacks around, man. We didn't have the first or second pick to get those quarterbacks you wanted.
I agree, and that's the problem we're in now. If we win a few more games, we drop back up to the sixth or seventh pick.
I think we could get a quarterback in the sixth or seventh pick. I don't think there's Peyton Manning there or Jaden Daniels. Do you? Do you think we're going to lose out? Who's the quarterback we're going to lose out on? We're probably going to get the
fall of college. That's why I was calling you, hoping you had a. You know what I mean? I respect everything you're saying. I just wanted to take you.
Thanks,
I'll let
Chris.
You go now, though.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it, and I hope you enjoy the back and forth. We're going to start doing more back and forth. This is Big Boy Radio. This isn't JT the Brick, hold your hand, and walk you off the ledge crap anymore. I'm done. Okay, if you can't handle my style of radio, which is a little bit faster and more aggressive and more in your face, there is some cupcake radio shows for you to listen to. They do cheeseburger reviews, and they talk about what they're doing on the strip for 8 hours a day. We're here to do hardcore sports. Not Raiders, by the way. We're here to do hardcore sports. That's what I do. I think I'm better than anybody at that. You might disagree. But I'm not here to hold people's hands anymore and say it's all going to be good. Here's your bottle of milk and your blanket and come back in August. I got work to do. We got to figure this out. We got to get through this crap. It just, you know, the amount of negativity and people doing all that. Caller was great. I wish every caller was as good as that guy, and I know you are. He had a real question for me, and it aggravated me because he said tank, kind of, if we lose, and he said rebuild. And did you notice I got triggered? Did you notice I got triggered when he said rebuild? Because I was just with Max. I work for Max Crosby's foundation. You think I want to walk up to Max and go, hey, Max, how you feel about rebuilding? You think I'd ask Pete Carroll that question? And the caller didn't mean it negatively. He just kind of got lost. Imagine asking me, the only guy who sits down with the coach, hey, JT, start off the interview telling him how bad they suck, if they'll fire his son, and if he'll rebuild next year. I mean, give me a little bit of a break. Don't give me credit. Just give me a break. We got a job to do. We preview the games, and then we talk about the next game. And every interview I've had with Coach Carroll, we've asked every question on why the team can't win. And you can tell in his face, it's a back-breaking play. It's a back-breaking play. It's a back-breaking play. The guys aren't ready to start yet. They're still not ready to start because we're breaking down film at practice, and all fans are freaking out. Well, why isn't he playing, man? What are you missing? He told you why they're not playing. They're not ready. But you think because the team's got two wins, throw the guy in there. No, that's not how he does it. Other coaches might do it that way. I don't know. Go ask the Tennessee Titans head coach what he's doing with his young rookies. Maybe he's playing them all. I don't know. But I'm fired up to win this game. I'm fired up to win this game because I think there is a chance to win the game. Clay, we're at the point now where I only expect one good caller an hour now. It's my fault. I mean, I'm just my standards are so high right now. I just want to hear from fans that want to fix this.
You know, and it's funny because of Bronco Week, when you talk about how that the young man asked you about, like, what's the most important rival? What's the biggest rival? Over the years of doing these shows with Raider Nation, yeah, you could definitely say the Chiefs are up there, but there is a personal hatred against the Broncos that is unbelievable. It is unmatched. Like, every Raider fan has a reason, plus other reasons, of why they don't like Denver and why they don't like the Broncos. And maybe they have to work with Bronco fans. Maybe they went to school with Bronco fans. One thing or another is that there is some sort of, like, heated hate, personal inside instinct that they'll never like losing to the Broncos. And I would have to feel like this week is one in which there's got to be a lot of calls and a lot of passion and desire to say, forget about the rest of the wins. Definitely do not lose to the Broncos at Allegiant Stadium.
If you're a Raider fan who wants to lose to the Broncos, stay the blank away from me. Stay away from me no matter who you are, because I hang out with the Black Hole. And the Black Hole and Mark Jones and Cisco, they throw parties with Gorilla Rilla and Violator, and no one talks about losing a game. Go find the loser party in the corner of the bar where the losers are talking about losing to the Broncos. Now, if we get to the last game of the year, and the Raiders are in the decision to have the first or second pick overall, I get it. You know, you look at that game with Kansas City, and I'll say the same thing. Beat Kansas City. All right, we're going to get Lee Sterling coming up next. So let's get out and come back. Lee Sterling will join us on the other side. He's going to give you three games for free. And Big D will tell me what his record is. I think he might be below 500 or above 500 now. But he's transparent, that's for sure. And we'll get to everybody there. I think I've had a good week this week. I'm chippy. I'm negative as crap. I had a good day today, and I'm going to have a great weekend. And hopefully the Raiders beat the Broncos. Are you with me?
Crosby cleaned up the hit. Laulu first through. Herbert tried to sneak up the middle. And Crosby with his second half. Sack of the ball game. His second sack today.
Mad Max Crosby brought to you by Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Lee Sterling is brought to us by Raising Cane's. And no matter if you go through the drive-thru, you order online, or you go to any of their great stores with that Raising Cane's sauce, buttery Texas toast, the coleslaw that I love. And I love having Lee Sterling on. Lee, you're going to love this. The best man in my wedding, my best friend, is coming out to visit this week. And he's flying out of Fort Lauderdale. And his flight's delayed, get this, because there are bees at the gate, and they can't get them on the plane. Have you ever heard of a flight being delayed for bees in Fort Lauderdale?
No, never bees. I've heard some other excuses.
Yes.
Even there was someone, never forget this, when there was a hurricane coming to Miami, and we were flying out to get out of harm's way, and someone had attacked, got on the plane somehow on the tarmac, and was attacking the pilot. So, and then literally they also had a plane come in right next to it who was taking off, and they ended up hitting some birds and had to turn back. So
birds.
In the windshield.
Yeah, birds are a big deal, especially where I'm from in New York and LaGuardia and JFK. All you want is your plane to take off and land and make sure everybody's okay, but it's tough to travel. Let's jump in with college football out of the gate. Georgia, Alabama, Georgia minus 2.5. Here's the deal. I got a lot of good friends of mine who are Bulldog fans, and they say that Kirby still struggles against Alabama. Is this his albatross, even though they've won a lot of big games here? What's the problem in the matchup, the five stars going at after each other, the coaches, in this Georgia minus 2.5 versus Alabama game?
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, he is, I believe, the better coach. He has won against everyone. But, you know, some of that goes back to Nick Saban now. So they just didn't get the job done at home. They had the 33-game home winning streak broken. So I think they're going to be focused. From what I heard last week, they wanted to do three things. They wanted to win the game. They wanted to not show a whole lot, be vanilla, and not get anyone hurt. Mission accomplished on all three criteria last week against Georgia Tech. Now they're going to be playing basically at home, Mercedes Dome here. They'll have many more fans. I think this Alabama team, there's something wrong with this team. They were outgained by Auburn, 131 yards in the game. They could have clearly lost the game. And how they were jumped up and moved up one in the polls for that, I don't get it. I just think it's clearly an SEC ESPN thing. They want to keep them out of harm's way. And that way, even if they lose here, they won't be out of the college football playoff. But I think Georgia has the advantage here. The Alabama offense can't run, couldn't score more than two touchdowns at home against LSU also. Give me Georgia big. We're going to have chaos here next Tuesday. Georgia 35-20 over Alabama.
Wow, Georgia big for Lee Sterling. Let's move to the Colts Jaguars. I like the way the Jaguars are playing, and the Colts, with the issue that they have with Daniel Jones's fibula, Looks like Jonathan Taylor, other teams probably are game planning him a little bit better than what we've seen. Sauce Gardner, how much luck can you get? You go give up everything for Sauce Gardner and he gets hurt. Colts minus 1.5. It feels like it's a make or break, and even though it's not playoff game within that division, to get a bye week or just to get in and not have to sweat out the wild card. How do you see it?
So I don't think anyone could have anticipated two teams here, both 8-4 at this time of the year. I know Indianapolis, this has been a house of horrors going to Duval County. They're 0-10 straight up the last 10 games here. But the biggest problem here for Jacksonville, they are down one starting offensive lineman, and three other linemen are game-time decision. Even if they play, I don't think they're 100%. I think that this Indianapolis team has underperformed the last couple weeks here. So public is going to be on Jacksonville thinking home underdog here. But Indianapolis can throw and run. And unless Jacksonville can run the football, they can't use the passing attack to open up the running attack. I like Indy here. The right team is favored. 27-20. Indy finally wins in Jacksonville.
Okay, like that. Yep. Lee Sterling joins us from Paramount Sports. Everybody, take a moment. Just go to ParamountSports.com. Lee Sterling's been doing this as long as anyone I've worked with my entire career. I trust him like a brother. He's loyal. If he's winning, you're going to be on the train. If he doesn't have a win for you 1 week, he'll tell you why. He's transparent, which we don't see much of here in Vegas, and I trust him as much. If you're looking to win, go to ParamountSports.com. Packers minus 6.5. Against the Bears, that number seems really big. I picked the Packers to win the NFC and go to the Super Bowl, but I didn't think that Caleb would be leading the conference with 9 wins. Ben Johnson would be this good. I thought they'd be chasing in the position just to try to stay alive. Love the way Chicago's playing, but Green Bay would be my side, but I just think that number's pretty big. How'd we get to that?
Well, Ben Johnson, very much like Liam Cohen, what do they do? Both very good play callers. Don't discount that. But they realize that they have quarterbacks here that can't quite grasp reading defenses in real time. So they just make it easy. You have one look here. If you can't find that, go to the second. If you can't, tuck the ball down or get rid of it and throw the ball away. And they're doing a good job. They win the time of possession. Turnovers are very important. It's not important to throw for 300 passing yards. All that other stuff takes care of itself. It's all about winning here. So Packers 1-6, laying more than 3 points. I think Green Bay escapes here. 26-23, give me all those points. And the Bears, this game goes right down to the wire.
So you got the Bears losing but covering the spread.
Correct.
There you go. Lee Sterling. And then finally, a big one for the game of the week here. This is a massive game coming up here with the Lions minus 3 against the Cowboys. I thought the Cowboys, and I was right on this broadcast, would win the last 2 weeks. I love the matchup over Kansas City. I thought they'd win, but I think this is it for Dan Campbell. They came up short last year where they should have been in the NFC Championship game, but Jaden Daniels smoked them. I had them winning the Super Bowl. They didn't. And this year, I figured they'd be comfortably in the playoffs, and they're not. So I think this is a really important game for the legacy of Dan Campbell, who has to win this game. How do we get it, Lee?
I think it's a must-win game for both teams. Anyone wants to get it, call 800-400-9741. Get the game for free, and we're on a roll. 11 winning weeks here. College football in the NFL. Check out all the specials. Just one place. ParamountSports.com.
Your phone's ringing. Take care, Lee. Thank you. There he is.
All right, buddy.
Lee Sterling. We had to move him today because my whole schedule and Clay worked with it great. So we put a little bit of radio in the can because I knew I was going to be running late or do the show from the Raiders. We ended a little bit early on TV over there and was able to get over here, and we had to move Lee Sterling. But he's great. He comes on with Q. And Lee's just a good guy. So I guess Big D said Lee this year on this show is 17-18-1. So he's roughly 500. You know some of these other guys who are just – I'm not saying this, Clay, because I'm not talking about the people who are winning the Super Contest. They're not professional handicappers, most of them. They're just fans. They entered the Super Contest or Circa Survivor. Bravo. They're winning. But they don't make a living over 20, 30 years doing this. I don't know many professional handicappers that are above 50%. A lot of them are getting annihilated, and they're having to tell everybody on social media because it's that bad.
Well, it's something that you have to understand that this is a 50 to 55% at best kind of life. It's a lifestyle. Professional betting is not for everybody. But you have to understand that this is a grind. And of course, as surprising as some outcomes are, it affects even the most smartest, the most intelligent. People have had years and years of experience following and doing this. This is one of the hardest hustles you could ever think of. Professional betting is not for the weak. And it's something that if you ever see anybody saying, I'm picking 80%, delete. Never go towards that because that is a sham.
I couldn't do this. I couldn't sit in a casino or sit behind a machine for 53% because there are days where you don't win and there's days that you're losing. And just to sit there and lose and say when you're winning, you're only winning 55% of the time. That's a hard life to live, isn't it, Clay? We know a lot of these guys and they're really good, but that's a commitment. I mean, I was a stockbroker and worked 16, 17 hour days. You win some, you lose some, but sports gambling is brutally hard. And the reason why these companies are doing so well is most people don't sweat. They have a little bit of money for fun. They bet every week for fun. And if they lose, it's no big deal. But the pros, man, the pros, I really don't know how they do it. I don't understand it at all. But a lot of my friends do it, and I hope they do well and win. 702-365-9200. Raider Mark, Clay is out in Henderson, Nevada here. Is he available? Okay, he just dropped. Isn't it great when you talk for 10 minutes, you go to a call and he's not there? Okay, that's part of my job. It'd be like getting a flat tire on a truck. As you're moving the commerce across the Midwest, and you get a flat tire and you're 4 hours behind. So if you want to call in 702-365-9200. Hey, we do have something I want to hear. Greg Olson just met the media. Oli, as they call him, and I like him a lot. I thought he called a better game than any of Chip Kelly's games. Sorry. You know, I like Chip, too. Chip's a well-recognized play caller, but it didn't work out here. Greg Olson just met the media.
Hey, buddy. Greg, when you looked at Caleb Murphy, both those guys, when I watched the film back again, seemed to, you know, good things. They did a lot of good things. What was your thought on those two, please?
Yeah, same opinion that you have. And, again, we'll continue to rotate those guys this week, or we have been in practice, and let them compete. But, you know, I thought it was good to see Caleb out there. As a rookie, Murphy's obviously played before, but got a chance to rotate Caleb in there and did some good things. So we're pleased with that.
With a young player like Caleb, is it just about being able to get some positive film to get him some confidence?
Well, no question. And he's going every day, like I said, against our number one defense. So he gets that work in practice. But it's a different, atmosphere when you get out there on game day. So I think anytime you can play in a regular season game, that the competition steps up and the level of play steps up across the ball. So it was good, and I think he'll benefit from it.
Third downs have been an issue this year. Is there anything that you can pinpoint that now that you're calling plays that can maybe put you in better position for conversions here?
Well, it always starts with protection first. So we're, big emphasis on the protection part of it. But everyone's involved in it, like I said last week, whether it's, running better routes or the quarterback getting the ball out on time or the running backs making sure they're involved in their part of the protection or the pass receiving. So all involved in it, but just always trying to find ways, protect it up first, and then get the ball in the hands of your playmakers.
Ashton and I talked to DJ as well. They both said something you're really good at is being able to set up plays kind of like down the line throughout the game. When you're going up against a defense like the one that Denver has, how important is it for you to evaluate not necessarily what you're calling, but when you're supposed to call in situations?
I think every game presents that issue. Obviously, this presents a tremendous, not problem, but just a tremendous challenge for us. But every week does in the NFL. That's why it's such a great league to be in. But we've got significant challenges this week, and we expect our coaching staff and players to rise up to meet the challenge.
Because when you played Denver the first time, you were looking at it from a different avenue as a position coach. A fresh look, I guess, on this defense as you look at tape, does that bring maybe a fresh approach as you play the Broncos for a second time?
Well, I think everyone sees the game differently, to your point. It was only 3 games ago for them, and obviously they've had a bye, so they've only played 2 games since. So we've got a pretty good idea a little bit in terms of looking at their tendencies. And I've been in the division. I've seen a lot of these players, really. So, but it does help that we played them before. And we've got a lot of things that we got to clean up, not only against Denver, but the rest of the schedule in terms of what we're doing on third downs.
It's not an excuse. It's the reality of the NFL. You just can't turn the entire ship in a week when you have three practices. But how much do you like, okay, each week I can implement a little bit more of my stamp on this offense?
Yeah, that's the plan going forward, you know, and again, it wasn't our offense, I guess. So I'll continue to kind of do the things that I feel real comfortable with and the things that I've done in the past, and as well as implement some of the things that we've had here. Fortunately, I've got, you know, a strong staff, and so the guys have been great in the staff room in terms of, you know, suggestions and ideas and whatnot. So, you know, we'll look at changing a little bit each week.
In the past year, guys have really complimented you, Greg, on you listen to players. What are you comfortable with? How much interaction are you this time around? Are you talking with them about what they're comfortable with, what they like, what they feel productive about? How much is that part of still who you are?
Well, that is definitely who I am. And it starts in the quarterback room and making sure that our quarterback's comfortable with what the plan is. And so, fortunately, again, I've had a relationship with Geno before and developed that relationship with the other guys in the room. So it starts in that room. But then I think, again, having clear communication with the other position coaches and position players helps in that aspect.
In your previous tenures here, you've helped game plan with a lot of really great tight ends that you've had in the building. Now with Brock Bowers, how much of a fun challenge is it to be able to game plan for a guy that's usually getting doubled on every play or even, you know, singled or manned by the top corner on the team?
Yeah, great player, obviously, and we'll do what we can to try and get him the football. That's what you always do with your great players, whether they're tight ends, running backs, wide receivers. So we're going to continue to find ways to make sure that we're targeting Brock and that, you know, knowing where he's at in the progression and making sure the quarterbacks are aware of the coverages and how they're covering him throughout the game. I think that's important too, whether it be third downs or normal down and distance. You just got to know where he's at, and we try to put him in a position to where he's in Geno's vision.
What goes into the decision-making process for making Aiden inactive and Pickett too, or flipping them on game day? Where do you guys make that decision?
Yeah, we make it throughout the week. Again, a lot of factors play into that. But we're constantly evaluating that position as well as far as who will be up on game day.
Interesting. So Greg Olsen, one of the big takeaways I got from that conversation is he wants to make the quarterback room comfortable. That's Geno. What does he mean by that? Making sure that Geno has the call sheet and the plays that benefit him. That's been a struggle this year. And Greg Olsen's been a part of it, even when Chip was the OC. Geno hasn't been right. Geno hasn't been right. So whatever they're doing to try to get Geno to play well, it's not working. But Greg Olsen now has his chance to do it on his own with the coaches under him instead of running it through Chip. Maybe it works. We're just going to have to see. Greg Olsen's a really sharp guy. He knows that all this will depend on his future, too. Here, Greg's come and gone with this organization a number of times. Why? Because some of the coaches that were above him got let go. So I think Greg Olsen really wants to put on a show. And at least under Greg Olsen, they threw it to Brock Bowers twice in the end zone. They didn't check down to him, which is really nice. You don't want to see anybody checking down anymore. So I love to see that. Raider Mark, thanks for getting back here in Henderson. What's happening, Mark?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good, thanks.
I missed you. Missed seeing you at the M. You know, before a Raider game. So, well, on the road. So, but I just want to touch base on that. How you got triggered with the rebuild? Mm-hmm. Basically, I think he wasn't trying to talk about rebuild. Yeah, he said rebuild, but I think he wanted your opinion on the direction of the Raiders. And when I look at it, I really think they need to start playing the young players a little bit more, and so we can see, especially on the offensive line. Of course, Jack Bash and the receiving corps. Mm-hmm. So we can, you know, start from scratch, and then get that quarterback in the draft, hopefully, or off of the lineman that we could build it. So mm-hmm. I think Raider fans are just looking to see a direction. We want to see development. We always see Pete Carroll develop at USC, develop with Seattle, develop players, and we didn't see that this year with the Raiders. Well, I don't know why.
The connection I'm trying to make with you and everybody else, and I apologize if I'm coming off too brash, they're doing the development in practice and in the building. If they're not developing fast enough for the coach to want them to play, they're not going to play. So I'm disconnecting with everybody who's not getting what I'm telling you because the coach is telling me and the players are telling me. They're competing in practice to play X amount of snaps. And some fans are like, I don't care. I just want them to play. It doesn't work that way. Your boss and your job doesn't say, go out and work today, and if you do a crappy job all week, we still want you to work next week. They're making him practice and develop there. But I, like you, I thought Caleb Rogers should have been playing 2 months ago. Why the hell wasn't this guy playing 2 months ago? Because he was graded out pretty good in the last game. So I'll meet you halfway. I think they need to play him more.
And you're right, JT. I go back to what I said earlier. It's the development of Pete Carroll. He develops players. Where's the disconnect between Spytek and Pete Carroll? I mean, if they drafted the players. They drafted those guys.
But we're still
Why are they not playing if they're not developing?
So we're still back to the same thing that's causing us to butt heads. Just because John Spytek drafted him and Pete Carroll was in the war room and they're practicing on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Pete wants to go with his best available players, that doesn't have to be a massive disconnect. John Spytek might not love it. Pete might be disappointed with the player or the draft pick. All the fans are acting like there's some gossipy disconnect. This is grown men and women who are involved with the team just trying to figure it out. And I thank you for your phone call because you're bringing up something that's really important. Everybody wants answers to be their favorite answer. That makes sense? Yeah, I think it did. All the used guys out there, as they say in Goodfellas, used guys, you want your answers to your questions to be the right answers. You want everything that you think is right in the football organization to happen on the field. And when it doesn't, you go blank. You go nuts. If a GM, a coach, a coordinator, head coach, if they're all on the same page, hey, this is what we're doing Sunday, we're going to start this guy at right guard. And I got fans blowing up my phone. Oh, my God, how could that possibly be? Don't you think the football guys who get paid to do it aren't thinking that through? Now, you have the right to criticize them because they can't win a game. We've lost six in a row. So if you're critical of the record, I agree with it. I've been trying to tell people, don't be two things I've been saying this week more than anything. Don't be critical, please, with the process. The process is proven. Just like the recipe of Kentucky Fried Chicken or the recipe of Coca-Cola. It's been proven under Pete Carroll. We all agree. You can't disagree with that statement. It's proven. Secondly, put some respect on this coach's name because he's not doing well. He's not doing well, and he knows it, and you know it. Just respect him. You're showing a bunch of disrespect to a 74-year-old legend who wears the same colors as you. You don't have to like the record. You can disagree with everything. But have a level of decency and respect for this man who's trying to win for you. It's not working. So we'll see where it all plays out at the end. I don't know how it's going to end up. But the lack of respect. Art Schell won two games. You imagine if Art Schell was living in this era with social media, what Art Schell would be getting? One of the greatest Raider players of all time. He's not a better coach than Pete Carroll. Art Schell never had two Super Bowl appearances as a head coach, winning one. Can you imagine if Art Schell Clay was coaching this team? What would be said about Art Schell on X?
It would be blaspheme.
It would be. It would be. But I'd say the same thing. He's having a really bad year. And Art Schell was relieved of his job when he had a bad year. All the coaches know when you have seasons like this, it's very unexpected, and you gotta do something to fix it. You got to do something to fix it. And I've tried everything on my end. What does JT say in 10 seconds? Play faster. No huddle. Attack the end zone. Don't check down. Stop running it up the middle. Stop running it up the middle into the pile. Stop wasting first down running the ball up the middle.
They back out. They bring just four. Ward, pressure up the middle. It's by Laulu, and he wraps him up again. Jonah Laulu drops him at the 34. Pressure through the middle. And the Las Vegas native with a dance on a 9-yard sack.
Like to see him continue to play better. I'd like to see the defensive tackles. I'd like to see the defensive tackles and Malcolm Kuntz and Tyree Wilson show up in this game. Show up in this game for Max Crosby. I know they all show up and they're ready to play, but come on. Let's go, guys. Let's get some stats going and some sacks. And it's hard to do that against Bo Nix. Raider Nation Drinking Club, Thor, out in Summerlin. How are you, Thor?
It's donkey week, JT. Honestly, I've been so busy running around, but I'd be remiss if I didn't have time to call in and say, Raider Nation, come out and represent, man. When you see these donkey fans who are out here, yeah, at them. Let them know. You at the Raiders' house today. This team, and I'm talking fans, be a fan. That's what we do. We root for this team to win games. Honestly, we need to win this game for us. For the, like, people are playing for jobs. People are playing for pride. Jobs, whether it's on this team or the next team in future reference. And show people respect that are out there. No one wants to lose. Everyone.
Thor, your phone's breaking up. I got to run. Your phone's breaking up. Not your fault, Thor. We'll talk about it over a stick. Thor nailed it. Everybody wants to win. He said hee-haw at the donkey fans. I've probably heard that before, but I've never heard it before. It sounds like hee-haw. So if a Bronco fan comes by, you go, hee-haw. Is that what you do?
You got to make the donkey noise, the donkey bray.
Yeah, okay.
I'll follow Thor around. I'll learn from it.
Let's do that. Hey, remind you, this Friday, join Remy Martin at Ghost Bar for Ladies Night. Specialty Remy Cointreau cocktails all night. Free sampling starts at 10 p.m. First glass of champagne is on the house for the ladies before 11 p.m. Man, who doesn't want to be at the Ghost Bar? You kidding me? That's part of me, man. I'm part of the Ghost Bar over the years. Remy 1738, sip like sports royalty. They do a great job for us. Oh, one other thing I want to mention quickly. And Clay, get this, because I showed up late last night because we had something going on, but the M opened up their second tower. And it was brisk outside, a lot of celebrities, entertainment. Congratulations to our proud partner, M Resort Spa and Casino. I was out there late last night as it was winding down, as everybody was celebrating the second tower opening. VIP event, 5-star to all of our teammates at M Resort, proud partner of the Raiders. Congratulations. You needed a second tower because so many people want to stay at M. They're driving from L.A. They're coming in from Henderson Airport. They're flying in. They go, where do I stay? Oh, no, I'm going to stay down at the M. It gets me closer to the Raiders, closer to my flight coming out of the Henderson Airport, closer to Southern Highlands. Whatever it is, people love M Resort. Congratulations on the tower opening last night. It was really cool to walk the property and see it. Mike in Vegas, wrap it up. Mike, thank you.
Okay, great. JT, Max Crosby has been the Michael Jordan of the Raiders defense all year long. But I'm concerned about the defensive backs, the secondary. I saw the games against the Chiefs and the Colts, particularly the wide receivers, 8R wide receivers up. And so hopefully this year and in the draft, we can improve our secondary. I think that's definitely a weakness.
Well, we're not coming out of the draft this year with Caillou Blue Kelly and Darian Porter as our starters. I can promise you that. I mean, when it happened this year, I was like, what? Like, are we going to get not a Stephon Gilmore type player, but are we going to get Jalen Ramsey? I don't think Jalen Ramsey would have been the fit for the price. But I would be pretty confident that John Spytek's going to go shopping for a sub-30-year-old, 28-year-old cover corner who's been in the league 7 years, maybe a Pro Bowl, that wants to come to Vegas. Because you got to have more experience out on the edge. Clay, Chickies and Pete's tonight. Tell us about it.
Yeah, come on out for Cowboys-Lions. Ask for the Clay Baker special. Get 20% off your entire order over at the all-new Sahara.
I like the Lions tonight, Clay. The team of your youth. I do. I think they have to win. Don't they have to win?
This is pretty much like a must-win in the NFC. Because the team that wins tonight, it's like an wild card eliminator.
Absolutely. Thanks to Clay. Thanks to Lee Sterling. Thanks to Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox. We got a big show tomorrow. I'm not going to stream tomorrow. I got a lot of family and friends coming into town for me this weekend. A belated birthday bash. And then we're going to come back and have a big week at the Torch starting Sunday. Q's coming up next. Always listen to Q. He has a great show. He's ready to roll on the flagship of the Silver and Black.